Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Bar Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Check them out. Clap it up, boys. Clap it up. Welcome to another edition of the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. As you know that from the intro that I just said that, you can follow us on the Instagram and on the Threads and on the YouTube at Barn Chirpers Pod. You know what? If you just Google, use the Google machine, or maybe you're a Yahoo person, or maybe you're a Chrome person. I would say don't use Chrome because that sucks. But besides that, if you just type in Barn Chirpers Pod, you're going to find us, man. You're going to find us. No doubt about that. And Justin, I said this off air, I almost wore my Mustard Cats cap because, I mean, we're here. We might as well talk about it. Like, the Preds, they've made a push with nobody on the roster. But
yeah,
guys like Ryan O'Reilly, what a signing. What a signing to get Ryan O'Reilly, right. Mr. Clutch himself. But this I'm bringing up because this weekend, Minnesota versus Nashville goes to overtime. By the way, Flower played outstanding, and so did UC. I mean, but both of those names, like, you expect that, right? And it's coming down to crunch time. And Flower's been the guy, which I love, because his playoff streak is on the line. He said, do not trade me. I want to be here. I want this team to get to the playoffs. I want to be here for that. And he's been the guy because truly he's been the better goaltender over Gus. Who knows what happened to Gus? Anyway, goes to overtime. Minnesota pulls the goalie 4-on-3. What a ballsy move by John Hines. I absolutely love this. And Minnesota gets the win they needed that 2 points. They're out of the playoff spot right now. They get 2 points up. What did you think of that? And do you have any other thoughts? I guess, hey, Will, what do you think of that? I mean, really, what are your thoughts on that? It was pretty ballsy, though.
Yeah. I've never seen that before. I've never seen the goalie get pulled in overtime. I mean,
did you know, Justin, did you know if you pull the goalie in overtime and you get scored on an empty net, you don't get that loser point? Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't know that either until it was brought up after the fact. I had no idea. And I don't think, I guess, I'm losing his name right now. Boldy, in his post-game interview, he had no idea that that was a thing either. But yeah, if you pull the goalie in overtime, you don't get that loser point. So they really went for it. Continue as I cut you off there.
No, that goes to all of it, because Hines has to know that, right? If he's going to make that call, he has to know that. I mean, and not only does it pay off, it pays off quick. Like, Boldy hits that shot like 30 seconds after Flowers pulled.
Yeah, once they got the puck. Yep.
Yeah, it's you got to have confidence in your team. And I love that for Minnesota. Both you and I had Minnesota pretty high this year, and they've been pretty disappointing.
I wrote them off. I wrote them off earlier before the trade deadline. I said there was no chance. I would love to be proven wrong.
We love being wrong on this pod because it means good hockey. And I love that not only is Nashville on a heater, 10-0-2, I believe, in the last 12. They get the loser point here against Minnesota. But Minnesota making the push now. They needed that badly. And that was a scrappy, scrappy game. But to your point, no, I'd never seen that before. I almost didn't know that you could. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense that you could, but like, it seems like nobody would. So why would it even be a thing?
I mean, to my knowledge, nobody has ever done it. So yeah, it's kind of like one of those things like, no, it's already 3-on-3. So you can't, but you can, if you want to. You're just sacrificing that point. But Minnesota right now, 6 points out of the last wild card spot right now is 71. Vegas and LA have 77 points. Of course, Minnesota is not going to catch anywhere, anybody in the Central, Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado, all upwards of high 80s, almost 90 points. So their only hope is the wild card. So they really needed that 2 points with, let's see, 10, 14, 16 games remaining. Whew, it's going to come down to the wire. And, you know, the only thing with that, because we're going to transition here and talk about some PWHL. The thing I love about PWHL is not getting that loser point if it goes if it goes that far, right? You get that, or excuse me, you get in PWHL getting that 3 points for a regulation win, right? Mm-hmm. Man, it would make things really interesting if the NHL adopted that. If you win, because think about how many games go into overtime in the NHL mm-hmm. these days, like. So many, and this is a whole other conversation we've talked about before, of teams like the Maple Leafs that don't have very many regulation wins, but they have so many points from getting those overtime or shootout wins. I really love that 3 points. If you can get it done in regulation, you should get that extra point. And if you have to win in overtime, if you lose in overtime or a shootout, you shouldn't get any points. Like, you couldn't get it done. Like, why are you getting rewarded? You know what I mean? But that's a whole other conversation. For everybody listening, we are 6 minutes in, but the little rundown is we're going to talk a little PWHL here. We're going to talk about the trade deadline because we started it last week and then a lot of stuff happened, so we will cover that. We are going to talk about violence in NHL again. The old Matt Rempe conversation comes up for the second week, and then we'll get into some news and notes at the end. So, Justin. We haven't had a chance to talk about the PWHL since this was announced. This was announced a couple of weeks ago now at this point. And listen, we had the barn tour. There was a lot going on that we were going to get to this, but unfortunately it's been, you know, a few weeks. But we wanted to talk about the PWHL and the 2024 playoffs, the inaugural playoffs. Man, this I really love this. I'm going to run this down, and then because you've watched more PWHL this year than I have, let you have the floor here. But the 2024 playoffs for the PWHL, the top four teams are going to qualify for the playoffs. The first place team will have 24-hour windows to select its semifinal opponent. Semifinals and championship will be played as a best-of-five series. The higher seeds will have home ice advantage for games 1, 2, and 5. Games requiring overtime will be decided by playing 5-on-5 periods until a winning goal is scored, which goes into the 2024 draft. The gold plan will assign the first pick to the non-playoff team that accrues the most points following its elimination from playoff contention. Once a team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, it begins earning draft order points. The team with the most draft order points at the conclusion of the regular season will earn the first selection in each round of the draft. Justin, take it away with your thoughts on this.
So first of all, we gotta point out Toronto, PWHL Toronto has turned into a bona fide wagon. 10 straight wins for yep. PWHL Toronto, and they limped into the season. Like they were not
they did.
Very yep. cohesive. Early on, but they are looking like a bona fide wagon at this point. So you love to see it. Very interesting that you're going to be able to choose your opponent. I love that's, you know, a little incentive because right now it's Toronto and Montreal with Minnesota just a hair back, I believe, up at the top. Like it's incentive to get that top pick or that top spot. I mean, already top spot because you want to draw, you know, 4 seed or whatever, but you get to pick who you play. So that's cool. I love that. I absolutely adore this draft strategy because it's going to prevent tanking. I hate to homer it in this conversation, but I spend some time in the Devil's Reddit a lot, and a lot of guys in Devil's Reddit are saying, let's tank the rest of the season to get a higher draft pick.
Sometimes a lot of time.
Right. I don't want that though. You know what I mean? Like I want to see them play. I want to, and this incentive
right.
to have teams play out the season is so much better, and you accrue draft points, and that's how you get a higher draft pick. That is a brilliant twist to prevent tanking. I love it.
Agreed. And just my thoughts on the playoff format. I love that because, you get to choose your fate. So you know, PWHL Toronto looking like they're probably going to be the number one seed and be able to choose their fate. So I love this because there's no excuses, literally none. Mm-hmm. You chose your opponent. So whether you destroy them, yeah, I mean, we're the best and we wanted you. So this is our route. You know what I mean? Or if you choose this opponent and you get waxed, there's no excuses. You chose this opponent. So it's, I love this. That's a win-win. And same, like you said, for the draft, I mean, really the only thing, I'm just kind of repeating everything you said, but yeah, man, like, okay. Yeah. We didn't make the playoffs. And again, it's a little bit with, there's only six teams. So, you know, obviously two of those eliminated teams are, there's not so many teams to go through. Right. So you're either going to be the first pick or the second pick. Right. But like you said, not tanking, it takes that out of there. So, all right, we weren't good enough to make the playoffs yet, but we're eliminated from the playoffs with, let's say, 10 games left. Okay, we could still earn up to, you know, 20 points or whatever, 30 points to get that draft pick. So let's hammer that home and let's get it, ladies. So, yeah, overall win-win for PWHL. Love to see those new rules and something different happening in that league.
Yeah, we do have a delay. But
okay, we're on a delay. I didn't know if Justin, if you had another thought on that. So
you're good.
No, you're good. You go.
I hate when the delay is this bad. I don't know how it got off so far off, but this league is a blast. I'm going to revert back to this part of the conversation again later, because we're going to be talking about Rempe later, and like, it's really stirring in some feelings of why I love watching PWHL so much. But PWHL is just fun, and it has fresh ideas, and the hockey purists that come into the chat that want to say, well, why only five games? I think people are forgetting that these women have only been technically professionals for a couple months at this point. You know, some of them have been playing hockey for a long time, but haven't been playing they haven't been paid to be hockey players for very long yet. That it's going to take probably a couple seasons to, we talked about this early on, like there's things that are going to develop as they get to do this. And the product that they're putting on the ice right now is already great. I can only imagine what it's going to be in a couple seasons. So I just like that they're not sitting back and trying to replicate what the NHL is already doing. I love that. And so far, so good. I love the PWHL. End period.
I love it. Yeah. PWHL. We'll chirp it because we have been, you know, would love to see some logos and some team names. What they've done since the start of the season, continuing until now, I really love what we're seeing. The league is growing. You know, they keep getting massive sponsors. We talked about that last week with them getting Molson Canadian. I saw Upper Deck now as a sponsor, but Mattel is a sponsor. So they're getting big name sponsors, which is going to bring money into this league. So onward and upward for this league. We love to see it. So PWHL is working hard. And we just want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Hard Work Works Fitness app. Because if you're struggling to get into a routine, or if you're going to the gym and not sure what to do, and hey, maybe something has just gotten stale and you want to boost, well, the Hard Work Works Fitness app is for you. Workout plans designed from a full gym, a home gym, or no gym app. All the Hard Work Works Fitness app has got you covered. From customized programs available in the app, Hard Work, meticulous approach to designing the best fit for you. So what are you waiting for? Head over to your app store and download the Hard Work Works Fitness app. Use the code CHIRP for 10% off of your purchase of any program option and get a free nutrition guide that will help keep you on track to your goals. Decide, commit, succeed, and join the hustle today. And moving on, at the end of the sentence, I will say period, so Justin knows that it's his time to talk because this delay sucks. Justin, trade deadline talk here. I want to first ask you, who do you think overall had the best trade deadline. And then we're going to go through the playoff teams and what they did in the trade deadline. So first thing, who do you think essentially won the trade deadline in your opinion?
So I can't believe this team is going. I can't believe this team is going so under the radar, but it's the Florida Panthers. They were already hot. They were already great. And they pick up Tarasenko, who immediately pays off dividends for them with two goals in his first game in a Panther sweater. Who's beating the Florida Panthers? Like, who is going to beat them? Like, I watched them. I think we talked about it last week. It was right after the Devils game. And then I watched I forget what game it was this last week. And they look great. They have everything working in the right direction this season. And it's really, truly something to watch. They are dangerous, Joe. Dangerous. So the Florida Panthers is my answer. Period.
Yeah, man, it's hard to argue that because again, this team has been top tier the past three seasons, right? They had the president. We've talked about this the last couple weeks. They had their president's trophy in 21-22, but they got bounced. 22-23, they go and wild card get in, and they go to the Stanley Cup final. This is the same team, and they have slowly eked their way all season to now be the top of the Atlantic and the top of the NHL. This team is so good. And then they go out and add Tarasenko, who we found out. I mean, we talked about this last week a little bit. We found out that he was actually on the radar. Like there was talks, but he wasn't necessarily on anybody's radar, right? And Florida gets him. And they also pick up a depth piece in Kyle Okposo from Buffalo. Florida is going to be dangerous. I sent you this stat in the chat there that Bob has like a 1.8 goals against average. Bob, Sergei Bobrovsky has a 1.8 goals against average. He is playing out of his mind, Justin. So to answer my own question, yeah, it's hard to argue Florida, but you know what? I'm wearing the sweater today. The Vegas Golden Knights, they go out and get Noah Hanifin from Calgary. They go out and get Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals. They go out and get a couple other depth pieces in the deadline. But then out of nowhere, they get Tomáš Hertl from the San Jose Sharks. Nobody saw that coming. They literally, and again, Hertl right now is also hurt. So he's Hertl. So he's not going to play yet, but the word is he's going to play before the end of the year. I would have to say that Vegas really did a number in this trade deadline. We very well could see a cup final matchup. I would love to see that truly. And I guess we'll kind of move on to this part of the talk since we're on the top two teams right now. Of course, everybody's going to be up in arms about Mark Stone being on the LTIR and Vegas using that LTIR money. And if Mark Stone does come back for the playoffs, then of course, they're circumventing the cap just like Tampa Bay did. Well, listen, the real issue is the league having that rule. Right, it's the league that really needs to correct it. If people are so up in arms about teams circumnavigating the cap, where you have 10 million available, so you go get new players, and then the playoffs start, and they come back, and so on and so forth. It's really the league, like it's allowed. So if it was your team, you would love it. If it's not your team, you hate it. But they're just doing what's allowed. And what I love about what Vegas did is they're not thinking to make this cap work next year. They're only thinking right now of like, how do we win? This is how we win. We'll worry about the cap later. And truly, I got to give stick taps to that because all they care about is winning the cup. And I've preached this forever. The only thing that matters is Stanley Cups. That is the only thing that matters. And they're doing it. So I mean, like I said, they get Mantha from Washington. They get Tomáš Hertl from San Jose. They get Noah Hanifin to shore up their back end. Vegas could have, in my view, won this trade deadline. So I want to bring up, so we talked about Florida getting Kyle Okposo from Buffalo. I mentioned that Buffalo did a little bit of selling. They obviously they're out of the playoffs, but I did want to touch on this. They brought over Bowen Byram, and they sent over one of their top scorers, Casey Mittelstadt, over to Colorado. So I'm going to bring this up because Colorado, while they didn't make any real big moves, they get some depth pieces that have now shored up their depth. They got rid of Ryan Johansson, who wasn't doing anything for them. They bring in Casey Mittelstadt. This is a great move for Colorado. I do want to ask you this, though. Pass or shoot, we talked about Colorado needing a backup goalie. Pass or shoot, though, can Gorgiev make a deep playoff run? He's essentially going to be slated for about upwards of 65, 66 games played. And then they have to go on a deep playoff run? Like, pass or shoot, Gorgiev being able to sustain a deep playoff run?
Well, I hate to go statistical here. Like, I don't have stats to back it up. But just the numbers don't pan out. I gotta pass. And I like what Colorado did, minus not picking up a backup Tendy. But you look at your Dallas Stars, you look at your Vegas Golden Knights, you look at the coming on Nashville Predators. Like, I that's not to say that Colorado's a step behind, but it is to say that he might not have gas in the tank by the time they get to the playoffs, let alone, like you mentioned, getting through the playoffs. It's a gauntlet, and the odds are stacked against them. So, like, if we're going one for one question here, I gotta pass on that. I have to. The stats just don't back it up.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to shoot on that because Colorado also got Sean Walker on the back end. They got Brandon Duhaime from Minnesota. They got Yakov Trenin from Nashville. So they did some work to get some pieces, and that's great. I think, you know, Colorado is already a powerhouse. I mean, when you have Nate MacKinnon like and Cale Makar, dude, I mean, they could do it all themselves, right? But that back end man or that goaltender situation, Gorgiev is a good goaltender, but I just think that's a lot of games to go on. You have to win 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. That's a lot of games. They're not going to sweep out. They're not going to go full sweep. So that's just a lot of games and a lot of hockey being played. So I also have to pass on that. But I do think Colorado did a good job in the trade deadline. And very well, we're going to talk about a couple other teams that maybe did try to get a goaltender and it just didn't happen. But so maybe Colorado did try to make it work and it couldn't happen. But it's going to be interesting when we get to that. Sticking in the Central there, as I mentioned, Colorado. Winnipeg, we already knew that they got Sean Monahan before the trade deadline. They go out and get Tyler Toffoli from your New Jersey Devils, Justin. And I tell you what, this was a solid move. They needed some extra scoring. They've kind of faltered a little bit. We've given them their props recently with their under 3-goal streak that they had. They've kind of struggled a little bit since that was broken, but they come back out and get a shutout the other night against Washington, my guys. Tyler Toffoli on the squad, I think, is a solid deadline deal for the Winnipeg Jets. And I don't really, their back end is solid. There was another podcast I listened to. I'm not going to mention their name, but if they ever hear this, they know that it came from them. Somebody said, like, why Winnipeg's back end, they're just kind of like a bunch of P words, but they're pricks, right? They're just a bunch of pricks. And it's true. Like, they're just dirty, not dirty in a bad way, but get in there, play the game hard, and they're going to grind you down. And they really are. So Winnipeg really didn't need to do anything else, I don't think. I think this is a solid pickup getting Tyler Toffoli.
They also, from my Devils, picked up Colin Miller. That's, again, that's a nice seventh D man for them. He might slot in on their third, you know, their third defensive line. I'm not sure how deep they go. I know their top four is set, but like, this is, you talk about the rich getting richer here, you know, like, yeah, I hate to see Toffoli go because he produced for us 26 goals, before dealing him, but it wasn't a good fit. There's no need to keep him for the rest of the season. And we get two draft picks in return. That is, you know, he could slot in top line. He could slot in second line for them. And either way, he's going to produce because that's what Tyler Toffoli does. So, period, end of sentence. I love this pickup for Winnipeg.
Just a fun fact for people that don't know, the last, I think it must have been 2013, whatever the last cup that LA won, Tyler Toffoli had the assist on the game-winning goal in overtime to win that Stanley Cup. And he was a fourth liner then. And like you said, he is definitely a top six guy now coming in clutch. So this is huge for Winnipeg. Staying in the Central there, Dallas, we know they picked up Chris Tanev. We talked about that last week. That was, I mean, same kind of conversation with Winnipeg. They picked up the one piece that they kind of needed. Dallas, very good standing moving into the playoffs. I don't really have much else to say about the Dallas Stars. Like they got the one piece they needed, and they didn't just go and spend money for spend money's sakes. I really think Dallas is strong heading into the end of the end of the regular season, heading into the playoffs. Period.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't need to go out and make a ton of moves. They decided, hey, we like what we got. We already got the piece we needed. Let's just go forward. And again, you know, I picked Dallas at the beginning of the year. It's a little shaky now, you know, as the season has folded out, but I like their chances going into the playoffs. Period.
Let's stay in the West because these other ones we've already kind of talked about. We already talked about all of Vancouver's moves. There was rumors that they were linked trying to get Jake Guentzel. There was also rumors that they were trying to deal Elias Lindholm to Boston for some pieces, but that just didn't transpire. But you know, Van is set. They've made their moves all before the deadline. So I like the squad going in. Thatcher Demko is injured for like 2 weeks, I think, still. So that's going to be interesting. But here's the thing with Van. I think they're in a good standing, but they're not battle-tested in the playoffs, and that's the only issue. They don't know how to win in the playoffs. So that could be something to look forward to, but I'm not doubting them. I hope they do well. I truly do. They're just not battle tested. So they made their moves. I think this is a solid squad, but I guess we'll kind of see when we get there. And before I send it back to you, Edmonton, I mean, they picked up a couple of depth pieces. They got Troy Stetcher. I mean, depth piece. They also, I want to say that might've been the only thing that they did.
Adam Henrique. Yeah.
But again, Edmonton, I think Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick from Anaheim. Thank you. So they got their depth pieces into the lineup. You know what? We talked about this before too. Stu has been playing really well. And also the backup Cal Pickard has been playing really well too. So I think Edmonton has a pretty good squad. I can't say they're Stanley Cup favorites or even contenders. I still see, we've said this before about Edmonton, I'll believe it when I see it, when they can get to the Stanley Cup final and win, period.
Yeah. Yeah. So on Vancouver, echo everything you said, you know, like there's nothing there to add. I need to see them in the playoffs before we can say what's going to happen. I think this is going to sound ridiculous. I think losing Thatcher Demko for a couple weeks to injury is actually a good thing, because they're going to be playing with more meaning for the last couple weeks. It's going to give more of a playoff atmosphere for these last couple of weeks, because they don't have, you know, they don't have their Tendy. So it'll be curious, you know, if they're able to play well through this bit. I think we're getting playoff minutes before the playoff starts. So I like to see it. You know, I don't like to see somebody get injured. Let's not get it twisted. I like that they're getting tested here.
Definitely not.
Edmonton, I like the pieces they grabbed. You know, they've got stars. They didn't need stars. They need people who can relieve the stars. They needed depth. That's what they went and did. Their tendies are playing well. One of the hottest teams in the league. You and I both wrote them off pretty early in the season. That they started miserably, but they went on a tear, and they're very much in command. And again, like Edmonton, Toronto are kind of similar boats. Although we both despise Toronto, Edmonton, we both kind of want it to happen, but until it actually does, I can't put any stakes in anything Edmonton does. So I like the moves, but you know, I'll wait and see with them. Period.
Exactly. Well, and the other point with Edmonton, like we can't take away the fact that in November, they were third last in the league. And now in March, mid-March, they are firmly in second in the Pacific with 81 points, 5 points up on the third place team. So that growth, like, I mean, you can't count them out. You know what I mean? You really can't. They've done something, and they proved that they're a good team. Sticking with the last part here in the West, Nashville, again, still firmly in that first wild card spot while being sellers, really. Here's to Nashville. You know, I talked about it before. Like, it just kind of stinks to see them limp into the playoffs and then be done in 5 days. I hope that if they do get in, they put up a fight and make it go, you know, 7 games, or surprise us and be like the Kraken last year and win the first round. I wouldn't hate that. The last team in the West, LA Kings, they didn't do anything. There was talks that they were trying to get Linus Ullmark from Boston, but Ullmark gave a kibosh to that because he has a modified no trade clause. So they were trying to get attendee. It would have been funny because the word is that PLD was going to go to Boston. it's interesting. This LA conversation, it goes to the same of we talked about with your Devils about the GM just not really looking ahead, I guess, and doing something. I don't know what Rob Blake was thinking going into this year by only spending $1 million between two goalies, and spending 8 on PLD, but that's a whole other conversation we've talked about before. So, I don't have anything else to say about LA or Nashville. So I'm going to leave that before I leave this to you. Teams like Minnesota, they sold off some pieces. They signed Zach Bogosian, which, okay. All right. But again, they're firmly in the race, right? And then the teams below them, St. Louis, didn't do anything. Seattle, they did extend Jordan Eberle, so I love that. Seattle sent Alex Wenberg to the New York Rangers. And then, as we know, Calgary sold off. The Yotes sold off Matt Dumba to Tampa Bay Lightning. The San Jose Sharks sold off, as we know, Thomas Hertl to Vegas and Anthony Duclair to Tampa Bay. Yeah, we'll get to the East here in a second. But I was surprised that teams like St. Louis didn't do anything. But then they go on a heater and win like the last 3 in a row. So I know that's a lot to send back over to you. So I'll wrap that all up to send back over to you, Justin. Do you have any other thoughts for LA, Nashville, and the teams in the wildcard race for the West, period?
I'll say this. I hope LA continues to collapse and Minnesota goes on a heater and is able to catch them. I'm really starting to look. I've had this very love-hate relationship with the Los Angeles Kings, and you know, we talked about it early in the season when they were hot. It's like I kind of like to see it despite PLD being, you know, trash, like not doing anything. But now it's like, all right, cool, well, then just fade away, go away, and finally actually rebuild, because they still have pieces from the Cup team. I would love to see, mostly because we picked Minnesota to be in the playoffs this year, I'd love to see them make the push. It is crazy that St. Louis didn't make any moves, period. How is Buchnevich still a St. Louis Blue? Like, is that is that delusion? Like, do they think they still have a chance? I don't understand them, Joe. The Devils beat them last week 4-1, rather handily. Like, they weren't, the Devils did. And then they last night, I look in the first period, it's 2-0 Blues over the Bruins. I don't understand the St. Louis Blues. I don't get them. What is happening there? Period.
Yeah. I have no idea either. I think Buchnevich had his highest trade value at this deadline, but clearly they'll probably try to deal him off next trade deadline, because he'll be a UFA at the end of that next year, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. It was interesting. Let's move over to the East, because we're taking up a lot of time here. We don't need to go through every team, I don't think. Obviously, we talked about Florida and their acquisitions. So I think obviously they're the team to beat in the East, arguably. A team that finally got off their butt and did something, Justin, the Carolina Hurricanes get Jake Guentzel from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I don't have the entire take, but in front of me, but I will say, I don't know what the Penguins, what Kyle Dubas was thinking, because they got hosed in this deal. Truly, they got hosed. But good for Carolina for finally spending some money, because I've said this before, they have literally had the same team that has lost in the Eastern Conference Finals for so many years. They finally get a piece who is a legitimate superstar that could put them over the edge to get to the Stanley Cup Final. I still think that they're going to get swept in the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's what the Carolina Hurricanes do. But hey, I give you stick taps for actually making a move at this trade deadline to get another piece to bring into that battle in the playoffs.
So Carolina picks up Guentzel and Ty Smith from Pittsburgh. They deal back Michael Bunting, like I think two other players and some picks. And you're right, like, that's an absolute hosing. Guentzel,
I don't suited think up. Either of those are first rounders.
No, absolutely not. I think, look, again, I picked Carolina Dallas as my cup final at the beginning of the season, and I actually feel better about Carolina than I do Dallas right now. Having seen they picked up Kuzi from your Capitals, I kind of shrugged. Yep. I shrugged that off when it happened, but then I watched the game Saturday, and he immediately just locked right in and looked like he's a top six guy for them, and just going out there and getting it done and already making a difference on that club that is already, what, like 4 points, I think, behind the Rangers, and who were running away with the division there for a while. So I love Carolina's trade deadline. You know, I hate to say it because it's Carolina, but they did it. You know, they like, to your point, last year was it Puljujärvi, like, was their pickup their trade deadline?
yeah
it's like, that'll make a huge, no offense to the guy, but you know, that's not a big deal. They take a big swing. That's a guy who's, Guentzel's gonna be a firmly top six guy for them, and I think that's a huge difference maker. And like, to your point, like, that could be the thing that gets them to the cup, at least to the cup finals, period.
Well, Guentzel in his rookie year was the leading scorer in the playoffs, was the leading scorer on the Pittsburgh Penguins when they won the cup that year, in his rookie year. So he's proven that he can be that guy. And yeah, like you said, Kuzi coming over from Washington. And that game was actually, knock on wood, that was an interesting Carolina game to watch. I've said it before that Carolina is boring. That was an interesting game to watch. And Kuzi, like you said, I loved to see that Kuzi was playing like he used to play, because he started on the fourth line in that game. By the halfway through the first period, he was playing those top line minutes. So I do love to see that for Kuzi, because I think he is a great player, and he has had some trouble over the last few years with, you know, some substance problems. I hope he continues to stay on the better end of things, and I hope that he continues to play like he can play, be the Birdman again for Carolina. But it's okay. It's Kuzi, so he's a former Cap. On that note, because we'll get to your Jersey Devils here in a second, the Capitals, I really actually liked what they did in this trade deadline. They got younger like they were supposed to. They got draft capital. They got rid of some cap space, or they made some cap space, I should say. So, you know, and somehow they're still in the fight. I really don't want them to get into the playoffs because they're just I mean, who knows? They could surprise us all, truly. They could go and be the Florida Panthers last year, truly. To that same point, actually, I'm going to save this for later on about when we talk about head coaches. But so, yeah, I mean, Washington, I think, had a good deadline. They got younger and they cleared out some capital. One other thing I want to talk about here in the East, we don't have to go through every team. New York, we already mentioned it, the Rangers, they got Wenberg, they got Ruedel, so they added some depth pieces. They were also allegedly linked to some other players that just fell through, so I'll give them stick tabs for trying, and, you know, sometimes things just don't work out, but they have a pretty solid team, and until somebody beats them, you know, they are number two seed in the East currently. As we know, Boston didn't really do anything. Omark and Swayman are kind of bringing them along. It'll be interesting to see how that goes about when they get to the playoffs, because obviously Boston will make it. Toronto, they got Joel Edmondson from Washington. Great depth defenseman, but they literally are going to the playoffs with the same exact squad that they go into the playoffs with for the last 6 or 7 years. So do you really think you're going to win a cup? No, absolutely. And I'll say this, and I love to trip to the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course. Everybody knows that. There is a 0% chance that the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup this year. Like 0%. Absolutely 0%. We already talked about Florida. I know I'm saying a lot here. So if you have something to say, just you know, let me know. Tampa Bay, they got Duclair and Matt Dumba. Tampa Bay is going to be interesting, but as we know, when Tampa Bay gets in the playoffs, they're a whole other machine, so I'm not counting them out. The New York Islanders are in that second wild card spot. They literally did nothing for the fourth year in a row. So great job, Lou Lamoriello, bringing the same team into the playoffs that you have done for this last decade. That's going to go over well, I'm sure. The one thing that I am upset about, Philly does sell off some pieces, but they're still in that third spot in the Metro. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to go for the rest of the year. The final thought is Detroit literally made zero moves. They are 0-5 over the last five. This could mean trouble for the Red Wings. I don't love to see it. Justin, all that was a mouthful. I realize that. Go ahead and anything I said, give your takes, my friend, period.
So I want to tag this. A sneaky good pick for the Rangers. They got Roslovich from Columbus, and he immediately slotted into their top line at right wing. They didn't make a big splash, but they always try to, and it never works out in their favor. Again, I hate to pat Rangers' backs. We've got more on that soon, but I like their deadline. I liked it a lot. They don't need more stars. They've got stars. They needed depth, and they went out and got depth. I hate to see it because I hate the Rangers, but you love to see it for hockey purposes. A big question mark. How does Boston do nothing? I know their big question mark is top centers, and maybe there's no top centers out there. How do they do nothing? Wild. I guess Allmark was actually in talks to go to my Jersey Devils, which we'll get to here in a minute. What else did you say? Tampa, to your Toronto point, can you envision this Toronto Maple Leafs team? And I ask you watching, listening, and you, Joe, can this Toronto Maple Leafs team beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? Can this Toronto Maple Leafs team beat the Florida Panthers or the Boston Bruins? No. I don't like their chances against the Rangers really either, and absolutely not against the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe, the Rangers is a closer.
Maybe the Bruins.
Maybe.
Maybe the Bruins. Maybe.
But, like, most of the teams in the East beat the Leafs, I feel like. They would have to go on an unbelievable heater, and the defense and goaltending would have to lock down for Toronto to do anything. And I just don't see it happening. So... prove me wrong, you know, I'd rather you not, but prove me wrong. And Islanders, again, how do they not make any moves? The only reason I think the Islanders don't make any moves is because they're playing so well. and maybe they just didn't want to mess with chemistry. So I don't like it. You know, if you're an Islanders fan, you want to see them make some moves, but that's the only thing I could think is they were trying to not mess with chemistry, since I think at the deadline they were out of position. So period.
Could be. Yeah, very well could be. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens there. So, an interesting trade deadline. Obviously there were some other trades that happened. We were just trying to get through all the playoff teams. Of course, other things did happen though. So if we missed something that you really wanted us to talk about, chirp at us at Barn Chirpers Pod. This last part of the trade deadline, I'm going to read these names, Justin. And if you have one that stands out to you of how they didn't move, notable non-traded players: Jacob Markstrom, Pavel Buchnevich, Alexander Carrier, Jacob Chychrun, Nick Dowd, Scott Laughton, Michael Granlund, Riley Smith, Frank Vetrano, Arthur Kaliev, Warren Fogle, Jordan Eberle, Mike Hoffman, Tyson Barrie, Kaapo Kähkönen, Max Pacioretty. Anybody stand out? I mean, we already kind of talked about Buchnevich, but anybody else that stands out to you by chance about somebody that didn't get traded?
Period. So I want to correct you. Kaapo Kähkönen is a New Jersey Devil. So
that's right. He did. Yep. You're right. Excuse my blame. My last.
But Chychrun, I think, is the one that stands out because he's vocally said he doesn't want, or I don't know if he's actually said it. I know the rumor mill says he wants out of Ottawa. What is going on in Ottawa? What is happening in Ottawa? I don't understand. Everybody wants out. But I think honestly, like, he may not be the biggest name. Him and Markstrom, I think, are the two that jump out because they've been actively trying to deal Markstrom all season. And by the deadline, you still can't make it happen. Okay. But those are the two names that really, really jump out at me. You know, we mentioned Buchnevich before. He would be tied with those two, I think. Period.
Yeah, I was gonna say Markstrom because, again, we've talked about this before. It's going to be real tough to go back in that locker room every single day knowing that he wanted to get out and Calgary was trying to get rid of him and it just didn't happen. So that's going to be a tough go. So let's talk about your New Jersey Devils real quick. They did pick up two goalies, Kaapo Kähkönen, like you said, and Jake Allen from the Montreal Canadiens. I know how I feel about that pickup of Jake Allen. As a Devils fan, do you feel – Two-parter here. Number one, do you feel that Jake Allen can help you guys? What are you guys at right now? Let's see. You are 66 points, so about 8 points, or excuse me, 6 points out of a playoff spot right now. Do you think Jake Allen can help you guys in this remaining 15-ish games? And the second part, I don't have a second part, actually, just first part. Do you think Jake Allen is going to help you guys get in?
Yeah, I think both of the goalie moves do. I mean, we saw Kähkönen play against the Rangers Monday, whatever night that was, and he held them to two goals. So, you know, that I've maintained all year, like, all we needed was league average goaltending, like, just not total god-awful tending. To that point, like, I some of these games that are left, two against Ottawa, three against — we haven't played Toronto at all yet — two against Pittsburgh, one against Buffalo, which, you know, Buffalo's playing better. They're not helping 6K out much. 6K is playing out of his mind and they're not helping out. And one against Arizona. Like, there's some tougher teams in here. There's more to it than that, but very winnable games. And that's where the goaltending is going to come in handy, because you look at some of the tough losses for the Devs this season, and they got goalied by Kaapo Kähkönen earlier in the season against the Sharks, 6-3, six goals on 18 shots. One of those was an empty netter, but Schmid let in five on 18 or 17 shots. If we have a league average goaltender in the net that day, we win 3-2, 3-1. As opposed to losing 6-3. That's, you know, again, like, it's just that little difference. I guess to directly answer, does he help us get in? I need to see some consistency from the boys. I need to see them scoring goals again to be able to say that. I think he gives us a chance Allen and Kakanen give us a better chance to get in than trying to ride Dawes and Schmid the rest of the season. Period.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. I don't know if they're going to get in, but Jake Allen definitely gives them a better shot at doing that. We're moving right up against it. So since we're talking about the Devils and we've talked about the New York Rangers, once again this week we have to talk about Matt Rempe. And we talked last week about, you know, make hockey violent again. And what we meant was, again, good, solid, clean hits that don't require you to have to drop the gloves. That's the violence we're talking about with hockey. So last week we had Matt Rempe, kind of run over Bastion, and that was some head contact. Now, we both kind of agreed that, you know, again, you can never hit the head. Doesn't matter how tall or short you are. You can never hit the head. Bastion probably should have kept his head up a little bit on that hit, but you can never hit the head. Doesn't matter how big or small you are. The Rangers and Devils play again, and Rempe very, very obviously lifts his elbow and hits Siegenthaler in the head. He gets a 5 and a game misconduct. Curtis McDermott, in his post-game interview, said that he asked Rempe to fight in the beginning of the game to answer the bell for the hit on Bastion, and Rempe said no. And then when this hit happened, McDermott went after him. And from what I saw, like, the refs didn't even let them square up or anything. The refs got in there like they were – I'm not saying they were protecting anybody, but it was interesting that the refs, like, stopped it before anything happened. And maybe that was their call for a quote-unquote safety thing. I don't know. We're going down that rabbit hole here. But the point is – and then Rempe, I guess, was waving, like – toodaloo when he got the game misconduct or whatever. So I know what my thoughts are. By all means, have the floor and what you think on this, and then I will give my thoughts after. So Justin, Matt Rempe, New Jersey Devils, questionable hits. The floor is yours, period.
So I want to say this. A lot of people are lucky that it's PG, because I want to curse. I want to curse really bad. And again, we talked about it last week. Hits are part of it. Like, I get it. Violence is part of the game. Like, I don't want that gone. But there's this hit on Siegs really makes me question his hit on Bastion. Like I said, it was totally clean last week. Now I'm wondering, because now we have evidence that this kid is not clean and he's a scumbag. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a scummy move. And to not answer the bell for your hit on Bastion, okay, like, it's a P-word move. I don't like it, but okay. But then to hit with intent to injure again another New Jersey Devil player, and then after that to hide behind refs and not be willing to drop the gloves with the guy that we picked up for this very reason. You're right, the refs did get in between, but he definitely hid behind a ref and waved bye-bye to our bench. What kind of move is this? I mean, again, it's clearly head games. How are Rangers players okay with this, first of all? Like, how are they okay with that kind of behavior? Like, that makes the Rangers organization look bad, if you ask me. And the fact that Rangers fans are in NHL subs on Reddit, like, they want nothing to do with this guy, tells you all you need to know. This was a dirty hit by a player who's now getting a dirty reputation, and he wants to fight everybody until somebody wants to step to him for his actions. It's P-word, and I really don't like it. It's really, to my point about PWHL earlier, I would much rather watch PWHL, where it's about skill with some hits that make sense, versus whatever this guy is going to try to drag the league to. I don't want to go backwards in the NHL. I like skill with hits. I don't want it to be all these dirty hits every game where somebody's getting with intent to injure. There's no way you can tell me anything other than he was trying to injure Jonas Siegenthaler on that hit. I don't like it. And I want that out of the league. I want that guy out of the league. You know, I mean, I know it's not my call, but gross thumbs down, period. I'm losing control of my words, Joe. Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize. Listen, if it's on, and I think anybody listening, like maybe they're saying like, oh, you're overreacting. But if it's on your team, your player, you're probably going to react the same way. If it's not your team, then, you know, you don't really necessarily have a dog in the horse, if you will. So I'll say this. Number one, I do think it's pretty, you got to answer the bell, man, especially when all you've done when you've entered this league is want to fight everybody. And now you're turning down the challenge because, well, maybe somebody got in your ear and said, oh, you don't have to fight all the time. But now you have, that's the code. You made a hit that was not clean. You have to answer the bell. You can't. And yes, this is directed towards Matt Rempe, but this kind of goes outside of hockey and across the board. If you walk around and say you're a tough guy or say you're this alpha and you're a tough guy, but then you don't answer the bell, guess what? You're a poser. You know what I mean? And I'll use the analogy of like a lion in the jungle doesn't need to be told he's a lion. Everybody knows he's a lion. You know what I mean? It's the people that say they're a lion that are fakers. So this instance of not answering the bell, you're a poser. And just like McDermott said, I lost respect for him today. I lost respect for the kid too. Like your thing has been to answer the bell and now you're not answering the bell. So that's the first part of it. The second part, I do think that, okay, he is a massive human, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", on skates. I do think that he just doesn't really have control of his body at this point in his career, his young career. So I think he is trying to lay some big hits on people, no doubt about that. But he has not figured out how to control his big, large body yet. So I do think that there is some, and I'm not forgiving anything that he's done. I'm just saying, from trying to look from the outside, I think him trying to get momentum and lay in a good, solid check, he just doesn't have control of his body just yet, because we are seeing these hits in slow motion and they do look a lot worse that way. We do have to take into account that these decisions are being made at a millisecond, right? So he did lift that elbow and he did raise his body off the ice and he did get suspended for 4 games for hitting that on that hit on Siegenthaler. I think 4 games stands with what they've done this year. That's like the 4th or 5th illegal check to the head that's happened this year. And everybody has gotten between 2 and 5 games. So I do think that is right amount of suspension. But again, honestly, if I'm the Rangers in the Rangers club, while he has kind of ignited a little bit in the club since being on the ice, I think you have to send him back down to the AHL and let him learn his body some more, because it's not going to stop here. And I'm glad the league did suspend him for 4, but you have to make an example out of him as well, because the league has done a pretty good job over the last decade of getting these elbows and these illegal checks to the head out of the league. And now it's been this year where it's starting to come back. So if they want to take that out of the league again, they have to make an example out of somebody. And that's kind of where I'm going to leave that at. Like, I don't necessarily think this hit on Rempe and what he has done has been with intent to injure. I think he has not figured out his body yet. But being such a large human, you have to make sure you are laying clean hits, because you could end somebody's career with how large you are. So that's my point on that. And I do think the league really needs to make an example out of somebody if they want to get these illegal checks to the head out of the game. I'll send it back to you if you have any closing remarks from that period.
So the biggest reason I feel like there was intent to injure on this specific hit on Siegenthaler is the waving bye-bye. Because that happens That's after true. The hit. That tells That's me true. That he knows what he did, and he doesn't care. But to your point, I do think I was heated in the moment when you asked me initially, you know, he gets four games, and I was like, no, that's not enough. It is. You know, four games is like, it's a good slap on the wrist. Hey, don't do that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Don't do that. Hopefully, here's the biggest, one of the bigger things I'm worried about, and lucky for the Rangers, the Devils don't really have anybody to do anything about it. But what's going to happen is Breadman, Mika, they're going to become targets if you don't stop this kid. The Rangers star players are going to, that's the way hockey works. And that's how it spirals out of control. I'm not saying it's right.
Yep.
I'm just saying that's the way it goes. So stop the kid now before something really terrible happens. And we don't even know. Like, as of right now, concussion protocol for Siegs, he's out for, at, you know, indefinitely. I could go on about this, but like, my words will not be as concise. So I just, it's really the bye-bye that tells me that there was something much more nefarious than trying to lay a big hit there. So, period.
That is true. That is something I didn't touch on. And we do have to get out of here. We're right up against it. But yeah, at the end of the day, somebody needs to take this kid, Rempe, aside and let him know that if you're going to do this, it could mean worse off, like you said, for our star guys like Zibanejad, Panarin, you know, even Shesterkin, the goalies could be at risk too from getting, you know, there's always something happening in front of the goalies when the puck is frozen. So somebody needs to take him aside and be like, yo, this can't happen. So, but yeah, that's all we have time for today. We missed some news and stuff. We'll talk about that next week. So until then, as you know, Barn Trippers Pod, follow us on all platforms, YouTube, all that good stuff. And until then, keep your head up, play to the whistle, stick taps and sellies, boys, clap it up.
Boop. Boop.